just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Sing song with me. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. 'Cause yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. You walked among men. Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. 'Cause yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to say one day at a time. Lord, for my sake, teach me to say one day at a time. Why me, Lord? En is 'n vraag wat ons vra. Why me? Because you're a child of God. En ek weet nie hoekom as ek so geseend nie. Well, I don't know why, but I'm just doing my best. And whatever God brings, puts on my table and gives me in my hand, I want to do it for Him. And I know every day I want to do more and more and more. En, wel, ek wil die liedjie sing en ek wil hê julle moet aan dit dink, dat terwyl ons evangeliseer daar buite, dink jy wel, jy's ons weet dalk wat ons doen. En, maar daar was 'n tyd wat ons in hierdie banke gesit het en ook gewonder het, ek weet nie hoe ons dit gaan doen nie. En ons het daar buite kan gekom en daar was baie teëspoed ook. Maar weet jy wat, ek weet, met dit wat julle is en die manier hoe julle is, wil jy dit nie net vat en buitekant toe vat nie. En die 10% wat jy nou reeds bereik, gaan nie net vermenigvuldig nie. Dit sal nie net verdubbel nie. Dit sal nie net vervyfvoudig nie. Ek glo in my hart dat dit sal baie meer word. En ek weet ons mis partykeer die potensiaal ons in mekaar sien, of wat jy in jouself sien. Dit wat jy is, vat dit net buite. Die liefde wat ek hier aanvaar het, die liefde wat ons hier gesien het, in die mooi, die netheid, die excellence, en wat hier so beweeg, hier is een mooi gees onder julle. Vat het buitenkant toe. Why me, Lord? Ek weet nie. Because you. Just take it outside. Just be what you are. God already put it inside of you. Just go and live it out. Die manier sal julle mooi wys. Amen. As jy foute maak, hy is daar om julle te wys en te help. Gaan maak 'n goeie fout, sodat die Here jou kan help om dit reg te doen. Amen. Why me, Lord?
Was worth loving you for the kindness you show. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. I know what I am. And now that know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Tell me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else that I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. I know what I now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. I'm so glad my voice is keeping up. It's just holding, but it's holding. Last song, I'm going to greet you with the love of the Lord and ask my brother to come up as my song to sing this last song to you. Ek hoop dis nie die laaste keer wat ons mekaar sien nie. Julle is awesome, hoor. And just keep going. Hy pragtig jong man met die blou hemd daar. Hy is die eerste keer doen hy my iPod my musiek te doen en ek dink is the spirit of excellence He can do whatever He wants to. It will be excellent. Thank you, Jason. Awesome. Die stem in die agtergrond is Corlia Botha. Ek weet julle van Corlia Botha, die lieflinge, ja. So 7 jaar terug het sy die agtergrondstemme gedoen op die CD van ons. So. Father God, I want to do a special prayer this morning to each and everybody that's here. Praise the Lord. I want you, Father, to please, as I ask a request in prayer, that you will bless this church, that you will bless the reverend and his family, that you will bless the leaders of this church. Lord, that the spirit of excellence and the spirit of the God, Lord God Almighty, and sovereign God that's here, present, Lord, that they will carry that light and bring it out and take it out to the world outside, that there will be no barriers, nothing, Lord, that can stop them with the fire and the power of the Lord God Almighty. in the hearts of Father God. Bless them and keep them forever and ever. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. That was awesome. We bless the name of the Lord. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to come and tell you a bit of what we're doing and where we come from and all those things. You know what I feel? Koki said that I have something like an hour and a half. Am I right? To come and preach the word. And I feel that I don't just want to come and tell you guys what we're doing. But I want to preach a bit, just a little bit, if it's fine with you, on the word. And it will be part of where we come from, what we're doing, and why we're here, why we're doing what we're doing. And the thing is, you know, God came and He saved us. He took us out of nowhere, and He raised us up to become His sons, to come and glorify His name on this earth. Amen. The Lord actually wants us to live a life, to glorify Him, to shine the light. Amen. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to do this morning, but I want to do it God's way. I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me. The Word says that we do not live off bread alone, but we will live off each and every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. And therefore, this morning, I pray, Father God, that You will give us Your word. I pray, Lord, that Your word will come through my mouth so that each of us can live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, if it's okay with you, because it's the only thing that I want to tell people. I want to give people the word of God. For a reason. And that's to save them. I spoke to Joe Singh this week. And he explained to me something. He said to me, brother, don't say that you're just an evangelist. Just preach the word. The word will save the people. God Himself will draw the people close to Him. All we need to do is just preach the word. Amen. And that's what we want to do. I want to bring you guys the word. And I want to agree with Pastor Gerard. We're blessed. We're really blessed to be in this place today. I've met Reverend Koki, and it's so awesome. It's an awesome man, man of God. And I could see his heart. And you know what we could experience is, as we walked in here this morning, we could experience the same heart in the people we've met here this morning. And that's awesome. That's really awesome. There's a lot of love in this place. And like Gerard said, is we must actually carry this love out to the streets so that we can bring in the people. We cannot just come and teach the people sitting here all the time for the rest of our lives. It's not going to be good. What about those who are lost out there? Our children, our loved ones that are out there. One thing that I'm praying for, that I'm asking the Father is, I'm actually asking Him for a few things to give me. One of it is guts. It's the first thing. I want guts to be able to go out there. I know that I want to go out there, but I do not have all the guts to really go out to the streets and speak to the people and share His word as I'm supposed to do. So I pray. The Lord says I can ask Him anything in the name of Jesus, and He will give it to me. And I'm praying, Father God, that You will give me guts to go and reach out to the people out there. Not just to the people in church, but the people out there who are lost. People who are not attending church. We need to save souls out there and bring them to the church so that they can be taught. Amen. Julle sal agterkom, ek is ook Afrikaans, so ek kan nie regtig Engels praat nie. Ek probeer ook. I'm going to read from John 1 first. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures. Is it okay? He says, John 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Amen. Now, therefore, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the Word, and I just hope that I remember all the scriptures that God gave me. But it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit will preach. In Genesis, we just heard that in the beginning was the Word. So we can expect that in the beginning of our Bibles, we will find the Word as well. And it says there, it starts with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Verse 3, Genesis 1. "And God said," listen to what the Word says, "and God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water, and it was so." Verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered to the one place, and let dry ground appear, and it was so. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so." Can you start to see something happening here? God said something, and then it happened. It became. Amen. And that still stands today. As I carry on with the Word, you will start to pick it up. "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And it was so. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And God saw that it was good." It was so. I'm going to jump a bit to this. Verse 26, one verse that we really know. "And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." Did that happen? This was said more than 3,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago. Did it happen? Did He create man? He told man, He said to man, you will be fruitful. Did it happen? Amen, it happened. That's why we're all here today. Because man listened. Man obeyed. Up to a point. Then man came to a place where there was one commandment, not to eat of the tree. We know that. We remember that word. We know that word in the Bible. And they disobeyed, and they went and they eat of that specific tree. They eat of that fruit. And then God afterwards, we know the story, then afterwards God came and He spoke to Adam and Eve. And to whom else? He spoke to the snake. And people want to do is I actually first want to explain to you and show you that this word actually is that God said something and it happened. And I just want to prove to you out of the scriptures that it will be like that forever, since ever, forever. In Genesis 3, verse 14, the Lord speaking to the snake. And he said, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust. Is something wrong with the thing, amen? Okay, what I want to say is this. Thank you. This is better. God said to him, you will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Did any of you ever see a snake standing up and start to walk? It never changed. So most probably he could have walked before then. Because that day God said to him, from now on, you will crawl on your belly. And it never changed. Every snake that you will find sailing on its belly. So it will be like that forever. What did he say to Eve? God said to her, to the woman, God said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. I wish they always want to obey that one. I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. We can only ask the ladies that thing. Did it ever change? It never changed since 6,000 years ago. It's always the same. When God says something, it will happen. Amen. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. Listen, men. Listen carefully. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Now we understand why we are supposed to work. Did it ever change? I think for most of us in life, even for the very rich, they will testify that it just came by hard work. So it never changed. And it never changed because God said it will be. And because God said it will stand forever. And you know what's another scripture in the Word that's so awesome to me? But it's sometimes scary because we do not know how to use it properly. It is Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The Word of God says so. And those who use it
will eat of his fruit. Am I right? Something like that. And I can tell you, when I was small, I grew up like very poor. Very, very, very poor. Many times in our lives, we didn't have electricity. Many times we didn't have coffee, and my mother had to make coffee using a millimeal, which she burned. And that became our coffee. I don't know how many of the older people can remember those things, how to make that. And that was our coffee. You know, I was in standard 8, and it was a time when you know, I mean, that's a time when you have girlfriends and all these things. And we were making boiling water in a dustbin, those old steel dustbins, to bath, all those kind of stuff. And we felt quite ashamed of ourselves and all these things and so on. But in school, I started talking. I started saying something. I started using the power in my tongue without knowing that's what the scripture says. I started using this, and I started to say that one day when I'm 35 years old, I will have a business, and I will drive a BMW. That time I still liked BMWs. But I started saying that. But you know what? It could have been a business. I could have just sold tomatoes on the street. It would have been a business. Am I right? But you know what? I was 27 and a half years old, and God blessed me with a business. He gave me a business. I didn't pay a cent for it. He gave me a business. And we in business for the past 19 years now. And we had times, we had such good times, where we turned over millions. And we just glorify God for it. We just bless His name for it. Nothing can come to me. But I started talking. I started using His word. I started standing on His word that can happen. When God speaks, things will happen. Amen. We must obey, and it will happen. But I can tell you another thing. We're doing a lot of work for Eskom, or we used to do a lot of work for Eskom. And that same tongue shot me in the foot. I started getting fed up of Eskom. I'm sorry for people who are working for Eskom. But I started to get fed up of Eskom. Just because of myself, because of pride, because of the bad in me. And I started to say, you know what, I don't want to work for Eskom anymore. I used my tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who use it will eat the fruits of it. I lost all my contracts in Eskom. My company is in a very difficult place at this stage. But I know the God that gave me the company in the first place. I know the God that pulled us or drew us into the ministry. And I know that I can use the same tongue and speak this word, and God can change it. And we can start to sense that God is changing it, the company again. And now, from now on, and I say it today on purpose, this company will do even more to the glory of God as He raises us up. And even if He do not raise us up to be as wealthy as we used to be, we will keep on serving God. We will keep on spreading the gospel. Because it was never about money. It's about each and every soul that's been lost each and every day. And I want to go carry on with the scriptures. And I want to read a scripture that's so close to me, so close to my heart. And the reason why I started that way, and I think most probably for very long in future, maybe forever, I will always start with those first few scriptures which I started, just to explain that when God speaks, things start to happen. And Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, it's Lord Jesus speaking here. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Jesus said that. Who did he say must go and do that? To the disciples. Now, who of you sitting here today are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? Who of you sitting here are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to obey. Just like Adam and Eve had to obey, we are supposed to obey. We saw what happened when we didn't obey. Now, what might happen if we do not obey this one? We might miss some of our loved ones in heaven one day if we do not obey today. We need to go out there and preach the gospel to all the creatures, to all the people, as far as possible. The Lord will help us. Just like the Lord actually raised me up and gave me that business, took me from nowhere and gave me whatever I needed to be able to start this ministry that we're doing. In the same way, you will take our hands and lead us into the ministry. All we need to do is just say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where can I go? How can I go do it? And something that's so nice about it is he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. We must listen carefully to this one. I'm going to ask you a question now. Do you see these signs in your lives and even in your church, brother? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In other words, those ones who believed and started to spread the gospel will see these things happening. It will, because God said so. He says, in my name they will drive out demons. Do we see that? You, disciple, do you see that in your life? If you don't, then most probably you do not spread the gospel. It doesn't say that you will drive it out. You will see it happen because you are spreading the gospel. The word says the gospel is a power unto salvation to those who believe. Amen. The gospel is a power, not me preaching, not the human being, none of my efforts, but the gospel is the power unto salvation. So when we start to preach the gospel, we will start to see things happening. Amen. And I'm actually here just, people, to ignite you. Just to encourage you. Start to do it. Just start to spread the word. Spread the love that's in this place. I was so full of joy. When I came in here, it was so awesome to sense the love, to sense this atmosphere. There's power in this place. There's power in this place that needs to be released into this world. And I can tell you, people, you're going to see things happening in Middelburg. You're going to start to see things happening in Middelburg. I think you are most probably almost in the center of this town. Wow. I can just sense things are going to start to happen from here. And I want to prophesy this morning that things will start to happen here. People are going to start to move out into the streets and gather the people who are lost and bring them in. Not for the sake of money. Not for the sake of getting people in here so that you can get money from them. But because you want each and every person to be saved. I spoke to a pastor in this town. of a big church. And I said to him, I want to start a church, a tent church in Copy Street. They've said to me, I can put up a tent there. And I want to reach the people on the streets. Those people who are still on drugs, I want to reach them. I want to bring him with his drugs to the tent and give him the gospel, because the gospel is a power. I want to bring that person with as drunk as he can be, I don't care. I want to bring him to the power, to the gospel. Give him the gospel and give him something to eat and send him back to the street. Because the power will change his life. I will not change his life. The power of the word of God will change his life. Amen. And I said, I don't want to take money from him, because he's already on the street. How can he give me anything? You know what this pastor said to me? And I don't want to make you people negative towards pastors. Please. He said to me, you cannot do that. You will teach them the wrong ways by not taking money from them. Huh? The people who are lost on the streets? I received this word for free. I think I got this Bible even for free. I got it for free, and now he wants me to sell it to them. And I don't say, because this word also says that we must take up tithes and offerings. Amen. So I'm not saying that we're not supposed to do that. But I mean, we need to understand, can they provide? Can they give? Now they want me to teach them first to sow and reap before I give them the gospel? It cannot be that way. What's happening to this world? People, we need to stand up. We have a power in us. We have so much in us. Each and every one of us sitting here today, we have so much in us. Please, take it out there. Go spread the love. Spread the gospel in whatever way you can. I've met some ladies yesterday, and it was so awesome. It was so awesome to listen to them. They just decided... They call themselves, or it's a group, they call themselves Amal Help Amal. Everybody helps everybody. And it was so awesome to just meet these girls and to hear their hearts. All they want to do is to help others. That's part of spreading the gospel. So they gather food from wherever they can and they take it out to the people. They hear where the people needs this stuff. They go, they give it to them. They don't just go give them money. They take the gospel out to the people. That's what we need to do. Maybe I must start to close off. But I discussed something with Pastor Gerard yesterday. That my company, for 19 years, we didn't really have a vision in the company. And I started feeling at a stage, but what am I here for? Why am I on this earth? It's awesome to have a company. It's awesome to run this company. And we were successful and all these nice things and so on. But one day when I lie on my deathbed, hopefully at a high age, and God gives me the grace to just lie there and think, what did I achieve? Life. What is it that I would want to say? Oh, thank you, God. I can go now. I've built the biggest company in the world. I'm so blessed. Thank you, Lord. Take me. Is that what I want to tell him? Is that what I want to tell myself? Is that really going to be valuable to me? I'm going to leave it behind. Isn't it going to be much nicer to lie there and say, God, thank you that I could reach those souls that you have given me. Thank you that I could have spread your gospel.
that I could have spread your word. Lord, I wish I could do more. But thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege. Thank you for giving me your word for free. And that I could go out and give it for free. That's what I would want to say. If you just think of it, what would you want to say when you're lying there? Oh, thank you, Lord, for so many grandchildren. Thank you for that. Thank you. I can go now. I've done my bit. What is it that we can say there more than, Lord, thank you that you saved souls. Thank you that the power of the gospel could work through me. Thank you, Father God, that you chose me as a vessel. That's what I would want to say there. And I want to encourage you. Go out there. Speak to God. Ask Him to show you what you can do. We're doing 10 crusades. At a stage, what we've been doing is the Lord gave us word as a company. I had an Indian partner, also a great Christian, beautiful person, him and his wife, his whole family. And I had other white partners as well in the company. And the Lord gave us word that 3 times a year I will gather the people, the men, and we will go and have a feast. And I spoke to my partners together and with other leaders in the company, and we said, well, if that's what the Lord said, then let's do it. And we started doing that. I think in 2011 we started doing that. And every year we used to gather here at Loskop Dam. I used to stay in Standerton, but we got together from Standerton up to there. Pastor Gerard came from Durban and wherever he stayed at those stages in Cape as well. And we gathered for 3 days without a plan, just to come park there, worship, and hear what God is saying to us. And in one of these gatherings, God said to us, we were always saying, God's saying that we're going to need to go out. We need to go and do something. We need to go and preach the gospel as a company. And at a stage I said, but you know what? We're always hearing that voice. We're hearing that from the Spirit. What are we going to do? Let's go out, pray for an hour, and come back and hear what God has said. And we came back and we heard, buy a tent. And we said, right, that's what we're going to do. It took us about 1 minute to make the decision that's from God. And we said, good, we'll buy the tent. We didn't think of what the tent's going to cost. We didn't think nothing. We didn't think size. We thought of nothing. It's just God spoke, therefore we will do. We went and we bought a 1,000-seater tent. Cost us 132,000 rand. We didn't think that we're going to need a trailer. So we had to buy a trailer of 45,000 rand. We had to buy sound because, I mean, we cannot just speak in such a big tent. We had to buy sound of 80,000 rand. We started realizing, listen, there's a big cost to all these things. And we just started doing. But God just blessed us. He just blessed us. We bought it. We got it to 1 week. The next week, we put it up. And God filled up the tent. And souls were saved. And we bless His name for it. And we started doing that all over. We went to Bella Bella. We went to Meyerton. We went to Van Rienen. We went to Amersfoort, Standerton, places in the cities, many places. And our last one we had, the last crusade we had it here in Doornkop, now in May. And it was awesome. I'm telling you, people, it was so awesome. It was so awesome to see that people are coming from all over. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Doornkop, the area just out here on the Loskop Dam Road. Those people do not even have electricity there. And after we've put up the tent, I realized there's no electricity.
in the community. And I thought, this is not going to work. You cannot expect people to work in the to walk in the dark to come to this tent. So I thought, this is not really going to be so successful. You know what, people? God amazed us. He filled up that tent. I went, my other best friend, Bishop Ben McQuena, is my brother. I called him out of the tent. I said to him, come and have a look here. We have lights in the tent and around the tent. It's big. It's a 1,000-seater tent. And I said to him, I want to show you something. And I walked, I took him and we walked into the dark. I said to him, you will see people coming just now. And you, I'm still saying it. And then the two meters in front of us, people just appear. It's so dark that I cannot see people coming. And then they just appear out of the bush. That's God. God will draw the people to you. All you need to do is go out there and do what needs to be done. I really want to encourage you, people. I really want to encourage you. Ask of God what He wants you to do. Give yourself away to Him to make it, to use you. I see there are many youngsters here as well. God can use you. Please don't start as late as what I did. Start now. Start now. If you spend time with God, you will hear Him speak to you. You will hear when He tells you to do what, to say what, to when, to whoever. Just go out, do it. I just want to come back to this one scripture quickly. This last scripture. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In other words, those of you who believe that you can go and spread the gospel. These signs will follow. In My name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, that is in all our foods nowadays, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. In other words, to me, that is a bit of proof that you are busy spreading the gospel. In other words, when we go out with the tents, I can expect these things to start to happen. And we have seen many of these things. We've seen many, and we give all the glory to God because He is doing it. He's doing all the miracles that we have seen. He's doing all those things. Because look at verse 20. This is Mark 16, verse 20, the last verse. This is now, they went out and they preached. And the word says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. I want to say preach the gospel, because He said to them, go and preach the gospel. Preached the gospel everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by signs that accompanied it. See, you don't need to go and try anything. You don't need to go and try anything smart. All you do is go preach the gospel and you will see God at work. Amen. You will be able to glorify Him alone because of what He's doing. God wants all the people saved. God's great vision is to see the people saved. The mission, the how it's going to be done, He gave to us, His disciples. He could have saved us all, one shot. But God decided that He's going to give the mission for the vision to each of us. You go out. You spread the gospel. I save you, brother. That's Jesus speaking. You go out and spread the gospel. Jesus says to you, I save you. You go out. I give you the mission. Go spread the gospel. And then, what will He do again? He will prove the gospel that you've sent, that you've preached. You will prove by signs and wonders. So we're not running after signs and wonders. That's just proof that we're doing what God said we will do. Amen. I think we've done what we needed to do. We have a vision, and God will help us. I believe God will help us. We're planning a crusade, another crusade in Somapepa now, soon. Hopefully in September, beginning October. Somapepa is here on the road to Stoffberg. It's a small black community. I'm talking to the pastors at the moment that we want to go and do that there. And we know God will bless it. He always does. He always, always does. It's so awesome to... I wish I had the time to just tell you about so many things that happened in these crusades before. And then we have another one that's in our minds at this stage. And that is Mineralia. You know where OKZ is in Mineralia? That's a vision we have. I don't know if the town council and whoever will allow us to do it. But you know what? I've picked up. Can you show me a church in Mineralia? How many churches do we have here in this area? Close by. And what about there? I don't know who of you are from Mineralia, from that area. Most of you are from close by. Many of those people most probably are not going to church because they will have to walk very far to get to a church. I'm not against any church in this place, not against any denomination, as long as we preach the gospel, as long as we preach the word of God, we will bless them. And we have a vision, and I want you people to pray. God, grant us that vision. That we will be able to go and have a crusade there. And then maybe, if God wants to, Lord, raise up a minister, a church, to build a church there for those people in that area. I'm not into planting churches. Some of my brothers are. But Lord, if you want to, please, we pray, we want that. That you will put up a church there. That you will win the souls in Mineralia area as well. Just as with the rest of this town. We pray for the rest of the town as well. I just want to give you one testimony. Is it okay? One last testimony of what the gospel does. There was a guy used to work for us, James Nyoni, in Standerton. He was a good guy. But he was still into ancestral worshipping. And he always wanted to come and borrow some money from the company. He was working for us. He was a good worker, really. And the one day, as we were driving, I had another Christian guy with me, John Koza. And we just started talking, and I asked James Nyoni, what do you believe? What do you pray to? He says, no, I still believe in my ancestors. So I said, no, but how does it work? He says, no, actually, before that, he asked me for money as well, a week or so before. And he said to me, I said to him, but how does it work? He says, no, we go, we pray, and I ask my ancestors to give me what I need or help me with whatever I need to be helped with and so on. And we saw the gap, and I said to him, but you know that money you wanted to borrow? Why don't you go ask your ancestors? Why don't you go ask them? And he was kind of confused. No, man, how can this be? And I said to him, sorry, I'm not going to help you. You have people. I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will help me. But you go to whoever you pray to and you ask them. And a week or two went past, and he came back. He said to me, you know what, Watson, I saw that's not working. that's fine. Now I'll give you money. And I helped him. But his wife was very sick. She was really sick. And many days, he used to drive with me 80 kilometers to work and back every day. And he said to me, Watson, my wife is very sick. I'm worried. My children are small. What will happen if she dies? I work far away from home every day. So during the day, what will happen to the children if she dies? And I said to him, James, I know the Lord, we can heal her. And one day, if you feel like it, when you think you don't have any ways out anymore, call me. I'll come and pray for her. And one evening, maybe just before 8 o'clock or so, the evening, he called me. And he said to me, Watson, I think it's time. I think it's time that you come. In other words, he was helpless. He couldn't do anything anymore. He went to doctors. He went to other sangomas and stuff. He did everything he could do. And he said to me, I think it's time. Nothing else. And I'm afraid she's going to die now. And I got in my bucket. I drove to Pick n Pay. And I bought a bottle of olive oil because the word of God says, if people are sick, you anoint them with oil and you pray over them and they will be healed. They shall be healed. Amen. And I just decided this is what I'm going to do. And I grabbed it and I drove out there to his place and I came there. His wife was lying there. She was like not responsive. She was just lying there. Two small children sitting there. It's like, and you can see they... It's very, you know, it's strange for this white man to come into their shack and do something, do some ritual in their eyes. And I took the bottle of oil and I explained to them, there's no power in this oil. This oil has nothing. I bought it from Pick n Pay. The power is in the obedience. I'm just going to do what the Word of God tells me. That's all I'm doing. And I'm going to pray over them. And I explained to them, who's Jesus? Who is the one that's going to heal them? If he wants to, let your will be done. And I explained to them, this is what I'm going to do. And I've done it. I prayed over them. I anointed them with oil. I prayed over his wife first. And then I prayed for the children. I prayed over James. And I went off. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. And I went home. And the morning, 5 o'clock the next morning, James called me. He said to me, Watson, my wife slept through for the first time in 3 weeks or 3 months or something. He was so excited because he saw God doing a miracle. A few days later, I came and we offloaded wood there. And his wife was coming out and so on. And I said to him, you know what, James? Your name is in the Bible, in James. I said, and you know what? That what we did a few weeks ago in your house comes out of that book of the Bible, James 5, verse 16. Is there anyone sick among you? Let him call the elders. Let them come and pray over them. It will be healed. I said, that's what we have done. And I said, do you have a Bible? He says, yes, my wife has a Bible. She went in. I said, call her, get the Bible. I want to show you where it is. Now, it's a Zulu Bible, so I do not understand, but I can see James and I can see verse 16. 5 verse 16. And I said to him, read there. And she was standing there and they read it. And I said, you see, is this what we have done? And it's like, and you could see the joy coming up in them. And she started grabbing the Bible and she started waving it. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, this is Jesus. Because she experienced it. She experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did I do? I only gave them the word. I've done nothing. I've just acted on the word. I was just obedient to the word. There was no power in me. Was power in the word of God. Therefore, we can go out there and change this whole town. This whole town can be saved if we can get the word of God clearly to each and every person in this town. Isn't that what we want? I believe God spoke to some of us this morning. And I just want to pray over you. I just want to pray over you. And I want to ask, is there somebody in this place? And I'm not going to ask you to stand up or nothing. That's called for a ministry. Are there people in this place that feel today, you know what? Even through my business, through my workplace, wherever, through school, wherever I am, I can be used by God. And I want to be used by God. If there are such people in here, can you just a show of hands. You don't have to. It's just a, and it's only, I'm not going to see each and every hand, but God sees it. And I just want to pray over you this morning. Amen. Let's just close our eyes. Lord God Almighty, Father God, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the Almighty God. And Father God, we want to declare this morning that whatever your word says, Lord, it will be like that. And Lord, you hear the cries of these people's hearts this morning. You know what each and every one of them needs. But most of all, Lord, you see those who really want to obey your word, to go out and spread the gospel, to spread the love, to look after the sick, to look after the elders, to look after the women and children. Lord, please use them. See their hearts, Lord, and please use them. Send them out. Father God, we all want to be vessels. We want to be instruments in your work, Lord. Instruments in your hands. And I pray, Father God, that you will bless us. Lord, this is all for your name's sake. This is to glorify you and you alone. I pray, Lord, that not one of us will be glorified through this, but only you. Jesus Christ, you are our Savior. You've died for us. You've given us the life for free. Jesus, you said to us that what we need to do is we need to go into the upper room and we must wait on the promise from the Lord, your Holy Spirit. And I want to pray this morning, Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Your word says, Lord, in Luke, that if you who are bad knows what to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? And I want to pray this morning, Lord, over each and every one of us. Father God, please give us your Holy Spirit. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, that we will go out there and do what you intended us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.